Thank you very much. Let's find the difficult place of Genesis chapter 1 in your Bible tonight. So you find that place, Genesis 1, faith's going to come saying, we'll enjoy this, and then we'll get right into something very, hopefully very practical and helpful for you tonight in Genesis 1. All right, faith, bless you.
Go beyond the reef of space, to crawl beyond the distant glimmering stars. This world's a room so small within my master's house. The open sky, but a portion of his yard.
God bless you. Good singing tonight. All right, let's pray together tonight. I want to speak very briefly on this subject, a simple suggestion for a successful new year. Let's pray together. I hope it's something practical and helpful that God spoke to my heart about early this year. Father, thank you tonight for what our hearts have already enjoyed. My, how I was stirred to look at the video and realize the vastness of the population of the country of India, souls for whom you died, souls that you love. Thank you that Brother Anderson is going there with his family. Pray that you'll help them now in these first few months to gather the rest of the support they need. And then, Lord, make their ministry there prosperous and fruitful, please. Then, Lord, help me to be a blessing to our folks tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house on this Wednesday evening. Speak to our hearts together, I pray, as we listen now to your word in Jesus' name. And amen. We are 8 days into a new year, but this is my first opportunity to speak to you. In 2014, I made it back late Saturday night. We decided we did not want to be gone from our house in 17 degree below zero weather. And so we did get in about 11:30 Saturday night. We were able to be here. I went ahead and had Brother Hall preach the morning service. Did a fine job preaching on the good news of grace, peace, and glory. It was great, and I appreciate that. So I would like to give you a simple thought from the first chapter of the Bible that I believe could be very key in helping to have a productive year in 2014. I don't always start reading at the beginning of a new year in the book of Genesis, but I did this year and have the goal, of course, of reading through the Bible in 365 days or less. Most time finish up early and have time for extra reading. But as I was reading in Genesis 1 the other day on New Year's Day, I was impressed again by the order, structure, schedule, and routine of God and His creation. I was struck by that. Look at verse number 5, if you will. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And then He said, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, that phrase, that sentence, in the evening and the morning were the first day, it was preceded by a description of what God accomplished on that particular day. And then that format, if you will, is followed throughout the rest of the chapter. It's repeated, that sentence, and the evening and the morning were the... That sentence is repeated in verse 8, 13, 19, 23, and 31 about days 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And every one of those days was a description of that day's work that God accomplished is listed. And I was just impressed once again by order, structure, schedule, and routine of our great God. Now think about it, folks, of all the things that God could have put in the opening chapter of His book. Now we learn about His power. There's no doubt about that. He spoke everything into existence. But the really, outside of the description of creation, we really learn a lot here about God and order and structure and schedule and routine. And we learn it in the first chapter of the first book of our Bible. Now, most of the accomplishments in the world throughout human history are the result of lives that are made up of order, structure, schedule, and routine. Some people have the foolish assumption that being footloose and fancy free is the desired way to live. And the truth of the matter is that very little, if anything, is accomplished by that kind of a lifestyle. Footloose and fancy free. I doubt very many accomplishments in any area of life, call it what you want to, finance or industry or politics or sports or entertainment or whatever you want to list. I doubt any accomplishment in any area of life, I doubt any of them have been stumbled onto by somebody who just was living footloose and fancy free. Most accomplishments are the results of rolling up your sleeves and grinding it out through order, structure, schedule, and routine. And I don't know how much reading you do, but the more I read about people in the world who were movers and shakers. Brother Chuck Campbell gave me an extremely interesting book for Christmas, an old book. It was printed in 1898. And it is full of very brief stories of people from all walks of life who were very successful in America. And it is fascinating. And when you read that book, you learn that the movers and shakers in any arena in life, you learn that they endured great difficulties that had to be overcome to accomplish their achievements. The first chapter of the book, it lists a lot about David Livingston. We had a missionary here tonight, and we talked about David Livingston, that famous and effective pioneer missionary to the continent of Africa. Listen to this. Is there a 10-year-old boy in the service tonight? Is there any boy that's 10 years of age? Michael Gardner, stand up, Mike. Okay, now listen to this. At this boy's age right here, at 10 years of age, thank you, Mike, David Livingston was put to work in a cotton factory as what they called a piecer. He had to go to work there in order to help his family eke out a living. He was hungry for knowledge, and with part of his first week's small wages, along giving some to the family, he took some of the rest and he bought a Latin grammar book. Now, factory work began for David Livingston at age 10 at 6 a.m. He worked until 8 p.m. with a brief break for breakfast and lunch throughout the day. When he got off at 8 o'clock p.m., he would then leave and hurry to his home. Oh, no, he would go first to an evening school and then go to school for several hours. And then when that was over, he would head home to study in his dictionary until midnight and sometimes later. In fact, sometimes the book said, that his mother would come in and take his candle away in order for him to go to bed and get some sleep. Now, he took his books to work, and he propped them up where he could read those books while he worked. And he said that he kept up a pretty constant study, unbothered by the roar of the machinery. He was able to read and to study while he was at work. And he labored like that for 12 years, reading everything he could get his hands on. I thought this was interesting, except novels. Isn't that interesting? Now, I'm not anti-novel, but I'll tell you something, friend. If all of your reading is novel, you're missing out a great part of what's available to learn. So he read a lot except for novels. He became proficient in the classics. He devoured all the books of science and travel that he could get. He studied geology. He studied botany. And when he could, he would roam the area in search of specimens. And then he got saved. And he felt the call of God to be a missionary. And then he attended medical and Greek classes in Glasgow, Scotland, paying his own way through school with some of the wages that he earned at the cotton factory. Now, the world now knows his name, and especially in Christian circles, he is revered as one of history's renowned missionaries. You know what it was? It was not footloose and fancy-free living. It was hard, persistent, routine, schedule, order, structure, work that made David Livingston successful. That's what it was. In fact, this is what he said, and I quote now from him. Looking back now on that life of toil, I cannot but feel thankful that it formed such a material part of my early education. And were it possible, I should like to begin life over again in the same lowly style and to pass through the same hardy training. That was his testimony. Order, structure, schedule, and routine. You know what the opposite? That's the opposite of footloose and fancy free. That's the opposite of just live life as it comes. Now, I was thinking about all this for this reason. The last month, especially in our church and our school, has been anything but order, structure, schedule, and routine. It really has. With lice, and if you weren't here on watch night, we played My Dog Has Fleas. But before we played the game, we thought we'd try to rename it My Daughter Has Lice. But it didn't go over real well with some of the mothers whose daughters actually had lice. So I won't ever say that again other than I just said it just now. But anyway, with the lice issue and then with the flu and people still fighting that. In fact, I don't know if you can hear me tonight. I am stuffed up with my ears. So to me, it's like I'm talking in a can. And I don't know if you can hear or not. Some of you look like you can. Others look like you can't. But anyway, flu, holidays, changing of service schedule, casual dress, which I'm not opposed to that for specific services, canceled soul winning and services because of storms. We have had everything in this last 4 weeks but order and routine. And that's the truth. I was so looking forward to being here tonight. Just really was. Now, it's time to get that behind us and get back to order, structure, schedule, and routine. Folks, families, churches, and schools are made up of a conglomerate of individual lives, and many of the same principles that apply to individual lives apply to the family as a whole and our church as a whole, our church ministry. And footloose and fancy free is no way for an individual to live who wants to accomplish something in life. And footloose and fancy free is no way for a family or a church to live and to minister. And so it's time to put all that behind us and look forward to getting back to some order and some structure and schedule and routine. And I tell you what, it starts with me and it extends to the staff. And it goes out to every member of Faith Baptist Church and every student and family involved in Faith Baptist Academy. We need a good return to order, structure, schedule, and routine of living for and serving the Lord. I'll tell you what I believe, personally. I believe order, structure, schedule, and routine benefit our walk with and service for the Lord rather than hurt it. I do. All of creation speaks of those elements. All of creation speaks of order, structure, schedule, and routine. And who is the author of creation? God. So if creation speaks of order, structure, schedule, and routine, and God is the author of creation, then He must be a God of order, structure, schedule, and routine. And I understand that order, structure, schedule, and routine. You say you're saying that a lot on purpose. On purpose. That's my emphasis tonight. You say that kind of thing can become ritualistic and ceremonial in the Christian life and going through the motions, and that's no benefit to our relationship with God. I agree with that. But if we keep our hearts and our spirits into the order, the structure, the schedule, and routine, then I know we benefit in our relationship with God. Folks, I have never known a successful Christian who's been footloose and fancy-free in their approach to serving God. Never know one. Never known a successful church member who's footloose and fancy-free in their approach to serving the Lord. Just kind of do it as I feel it. When you miss church because of sickness or weather, and I'm not down on anybody for that, okay? We had the flu. We just didn't have it over a service time, all right? And I know some of you did. I'm not down on that. I'm not down on anybody for not coming to church Sunday morning. Not down on anybody. We didn't have church Sunday night. It was bad weather. But I'm saying that doesn't change the fact that when you miss because of sickness or weather, it can have a negative effect on you by stealing your heart away from church. It can. Now, I'm not down on anybody for missing. I'm not down on anybody for being sick. We still have folks struggling with this stuff. You heard Brother Paul was hacking this morning. And as I said, my sinuses are still stuffed up and sniffing. I'm not down on anybody. But that doesn't change the fact that when you get waylaid from order, structure, schedule, and routine, it can have a negative effect on you. When you don't teach your class, or when you don't sing in the choir, or because of travel or sickness, your heart can be stolen from those areas of service. When soul winning is moved to another time or canceled because of weather or cold, you miss because of sickness, your heart can become callous to that important area of serving the Lord. Think about the first time you missed and you felt like, oh, but you know, once you've missed once, it's easy to say the second time, well, you know, it is a little cold. And I didn't feel good yesterday. It's just human nature. I'm not getting down on anybody. It's human nature. That's why order, structure, schedule, and routine is so important. And I know there's a liability to that. I understand it. It can become ritualistic. And you can go through the motions like the Catholic Church, ceremonial in our service. So we have to guard against that, but I'm still an advocate of order and structure and schedule and routine. I think people do far better for the Lord who stick to that kind of service than ones that just kind of, whenever the mood hits me, that's what I'll do. I don't think you accomplish anything in life like that. I'm just saying that order, structure, schedule, and routine are not our enemies. Yes, we have to guard against them becoming ritualistic, but they help us more than they hurt us. Let me ask you a few questions tonight. Are you having trouble with inconsistency in your Bible reading? Just not too long before Christmas, I was approached by a young person in the 20 to 25 age bracket here at our church. And the young person said, Pastor, I'm very discouraged about my devotion life. And I don't get anything out of it. And then I read some days and some days I don't read. And the young person, the young adult was, I could tell they were not just blabbing. They were sincerely asking, hoping for some kind of a suggestion to help them. And so I was sitting right down here in the auditorium. It was after everybody left. Sitting down here in the auditorium. And I said to the young adult, I said, do you have a scheduled time? I said, here you are, you're all down on yourself and discouraged in your soul and spirit because you feel like, you know, you're a bad Christian because you can't be consistent in your Bible reading. What's wrong with my heart? And what's wrong with my desire? You have a scheduled time to go to work. You have a scheduled time to go to sleep, most likely. You have a scheduled time with a little flexibility to eat meals. You have a scheduled time for all the things that you consider important in life, and yet you have no scheduled time for your Bible. They just looked at me. And this is part of it. Are you struggling in your Bible reading? It may be a simple matter of looking at your day and saying, at this time, I'm going to read my Bible. And it you say, well, that becomes ritualistic. It becomes habit. I will take my chances with that church member over the one that says, I'll read it when I get around to it. Because order, structure, schedule, and routine make you successful. That's a kind of a generous statement, but I think it's involved in it. It's involved in it. Are you having time? Are you having inconsistency with praying? Are you having trouble with prayer time? It's hit and miss, and more miss than hit. Do you have a schedule? Do you have a schedule? Are you ordered? Do you have any structure? Do you have any routine? We preached the whole summer on the model prayer and tried to break it down to some structure to it, okay? Are you having trouble communicating with your spouse? So we never talk. Do you have a scheduled time? Say, well, that's ridiculous. You may do better than how you've been doing. No, we never talk. Well, there's time to do this and time to do that and time to do that. And a lot of times those things are at specific set times. But there's no time to sit and talk with my wife or your husband. There needs to be scheduled time. Are you having trouble communicating with your children? So my kids don't talk to me. Do you sit down with the television off, with the social media off, with everything quiet and just sit? Believe me, you'll think of something to say after two or three nights. Of no noise. Schedule. It's schedule. It's order. It's schedule. It's structure. It's ritual. Okay? Are you having trouble? Are you having trouble with keeping your house clean? Sometimes, ladies, it's just a matter of, well, I'll clean my house when I get around to it. You'll never keep it clean. You keep a clean house when you clean it on Tuesday. Or you clean it on Friday. Or you clean it on Saturday afternoon and spruce it up on Tuesday. When you have schedule, are your shoes not shined? You say, this is ridiculous, folks. I'm telling you what. I'll take my chances with somebody who lives a life with order, structure, schedule, and routine. Over somebody who just says, ah, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future, see, that's an old song, isn't it, huh? Yeah. Do you have any order when it comes to grocery shopping? One of the best ways to save money, ladies, in the store is to make a list, a thought-out list, and stick to it. Don't go to the store and buy what looks good. And don't take your husband with you. Oh, this looks good. My wife would get home from shopping and she goes, what'd you do? I went to grocery shopping. How was it? It was terrible. Why was it bad? Men were in the store today. When men are in the store, they're picking things up and looking at it and putting it in the cart. And wife is saying, why do you need that for? Oh, we need that. Do you have any order when it comes to cleaning your guns? Yeah. Order, structure, schedule, routine. And I'll tell you what, I'll take my chances spiritually with the person that says 10 o'clock, I'll be in Sunday school, 11 o'clock, I'll be in church. I'll be at the choir practice if I sing in the choir. I'll be at the teacher's meeting if I teach. I'll be at that place. I'll do this. I'll be at soul winning when I can. I'll do that. I'll be here. And you say, well, it becomes ritualistic and ceremonial. I'll take my chances with somebody who's living a life of order, structure, schedule, and routine as opposed to somebody who just does it when they feel like it. It's interesting to me that in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, when we're just introduced to God as far as the first few words in His holy book, and we learn about His power, but you can't deny when you read through this that there is order, structure, schedule, and routine. The sun comes up on this. Actually, the sun doesn't come up, but that's what we say. For lack of a better way to describe it, it comes up the same within a few minutes of the hours of the same time every morning, sets over here, day after day, day after day. And the evening and the morning of the first day. And the evening and the morning of the second day. I'll challenge you. If your life is chaotic, and young mothers, you say, if my life is chaotic, your life is chaotic. But I challenge you, if you're struggling in any area, and particularly spiritually. And church, with the last month behind us, let's get back, look at your life, and see what you need to put in order, structure, schedule, and routine. And I'll promise you, you'll stand a lot better chance of accomplishing something. That's very practical, isn't it? Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for being here tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that we won't waste the life that you've given us. I pray, God, that we will be people. We're made in your image. And from what we can read about you in your book, you are a God that is orderly and structured and scheduled and routine. And we're thankful for that and the life you've given us. May we approach it with that mindset. May we approach it with that quality of character. And God, may we accomplish something. May we be dedicated and faithful through order, structure, schedule, and routine. And Lord, please help us to guard our hearts and not become ceremonial or ritualistic. Help us to accomplish for you what you intended for us to accomplish, please. In every area of our life, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, just a brief silence right there.